All right. Welcome back, guys, to another Invest in Your Future podcast with your host, Coach Kenny, myself. And today I have a special guest today. Actually, he's actually my loan broker here. His name is Jorge Almonte, and he's based in Maryland, and he's been doing it for a long time. And I wanted to bring him on the podcast because I think you guys really need to understand how the process works and how you can make millions using hard money and different types of loan programs out there that are available for you guys to be able to make some money, whether that's in real estate or you're buying fix and flips or you're buying hold or whatever you're trying to do. I want Jorge to come on and just kind of expand your knowledge base in terms of how you can possibly get loans, because Jorge is a specialist. He's been doing this for a long, long time. And actually, he's a very smart man. I work with him now, and he actually, I will talk about the deal that we worked on recently, but I wanted to kind of experience you guys on terms of how you can guys get yourselves ready, especially with this new year coming up. Get yourselves ready to be able to qualify for these loans, but also see what's available for you and see how you can make money with these things. So, Jorge, thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you coming on.
Great, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get into the loan program? How did you get into loan lending money and these kind of things?
Great question. So I started my career in banking as a retail banker. As time went on, I got into it really at the worst time. It was 2007, 2008. The economy was at its worst. So I pivoted to the car business, and I quickly found my way into the finance division and department of the automotive industry. And as part of my role there, one of my jobs was to negotiate with lenders so that I can get my clients approved to buy a car, right? Sometimes people would have mishaps. You get a divorce, you have student loans, missed payments, whatever. You start learning the ins and outs of how to work with a bank, understanding their guidelines. And so when I started investing in real estate myself, I realized very quickly the language was pretty similar. In fact, it was identical. All that changed in front of me was the product. We went from discussing common language like loan to value in a vehicle, only now we were talking about houses. And so at one point, I ran out of money and I said, how do I do more deals? You go online, you hear the gurus that are talking about how they're doing X amount of deals a month. How are they doing this, right? And so I started doing some research. I found some lenders, and really my favorite source was a local lender who I spoke with, and he was an individual. He kind of took me under his wing, guided me under certain things, but I needed to refinance my way out of the money that he would lend me. So he was a hard money lender who would help me do deals. And I quickly realized, okay, let me make some phone calls. I started asking around, who do you use? Who do you use? Who do you use? People started giving me these lenders, and I'd call them. And my experience as a car guy, as a finance manager, resonated here because I'd say, okay, well, what do I have to do to get a better term or a better rate or a better this? And the negotiation skills that I was using in the automotive industry to help clients started manifesting excellent here for myself. And so quickly I said, okay, how do I now get the benefit of doing this for other people? So I made a phone call and I asked one guy, I said, hey, I've referred you over 60 plus people. How do I get involved? And he was like, well, I can make you a broker. And I said, what are the steps? So I learned what I had to do. It took me a little bit of time to get it done, but I got it done. We started a company, and next thing you know, I'm shaking hands, kissing babies, flying around the country, meeting new banks, new lenders, and that's my job now. So I literally go out there to find every opportunity to talk to as many lenders as possible and package that in a way that's meaningful for our clients. So when our clients come, like yourself, come to me and say, hey, this is the deal, this is what's happening, I try to find the lender that best matches your needs, and then I go to work for you. I say, okay, this is what I need to make this happen. How can we do that? And so therein was born the Universal Loan Exchange, the ULEX for short. And we call it the Universal Loan Exchange because at like a loan exchange, we are here to find as many lenders as possible. Today, lender A might be the go-to. Tomorrow, it might not be. We are trying to stay with the times and build relationships with these lenders so that they know what our clients need so to make the process smoother. And I'm happy to be here doing that because I realize how many people are kept away from being able to participate in the real estate space because they don't know that I'm out there. So I'm really grateful to be here to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jorge, you have so many things we want to unpack there, but the biggest thing I want to make sure people understand is it's not as scary as it seems. People think getting a loan is so scary and it could be dreadful because I mean, I've gone the traditional way of getting a loan through the bank, getting the, you know, get, pulling your personal finance, personal PFS and or personal financial statements, but also going through the, you know, checking your credit, all these other things that normal people go through to get a credit, get a loan on a typical home. And nothing wrong with that, but it could be stressful. So a lot of people avoid it, or people are worried about their credit score, or people are worried about not qualifying because of certain criteria. Could you kind of break down the kind of different things you can offer to people, because that way they can know that these options are available for them? Because to be honest, I didn't even know about hard money myself until almost, I want to say 2021. Before that, and I was in real estate since 2016, and I was doing all kind of using my own personal finances until, like yourself, where I ran out of funds. And I realized, okay, you can't scale up until you actually get out and find loans and lenders like yourself and brokers. And so could you break down a little bit of kind of what the options are available for, especially people who are not seasoned vets or don't know what's available for them?
Great questions. Happy to jump into it. So when you go to traditional banks, a lot of people get disheartened because they meet somebody who doesn't know what's out there. Bankers, and I was one myself, have a very limited purview of what's out there. So let's start with the fact that our process is very different in real estate. Real estate itself serves as part of three C's that matter most in the business world. The first C is credit. So your personal credit, you want it to be as best as possible. Can it be done with bad credit? Yes. But the better your credit, the better the terms, the less expensive things will be. The second C is cash. The more cash you have on hand, the better the circumstances will be for whatever you do. Can you do it with no cash? Yes, it is possible. However, in the hard money space, that is not the space for the no cash strategy. So I want to let people know that there are no cash strategies out there. And the way to include it with hard money would be to partner with somebody else who has the cash if you don't have the cash, okay? Yes, there are creative things. So leave that for a different podcast, but just want to address it in the hard money space. And the third C is collateral. Now, for us, the collateral specifically is the property itself. So here you are, you're new to the game, and you want to get across to this deal. How do I get in it? So the first thing I tell people is you're going to back your way into the deal. You want to first look at the property and what that property is going to represent in terms of after you're done with it. What's your exit strategy? Am I going to sell this? Am I going to rent this? Regardless of whether you're going to sell it or rent it, that property is going to have a future value. And the future value we're talking about is the value after you repair the property. We know that as the after repair value, the ARV. Mm-hmm. Lenders look at ARV and they back into your loan based on that number. So the ARV, how do you figure that out? You're going to look at recent sales, ideally within the last 3 months. If things have been a little slower, you can scale it back to the last 6 months, right? And you're going to look at comparables, houses that are within the area, within half a mile. And if there aren't any reasonable comps within the half mile radius, they can and sometimes do go as far out as a mile and a half, maybe even two, but very rare for them to go that far out. So try to keep it within half a mile and within the last 3 months, ideally. Again, you can find stuff within those parameters a little bit expanded, right? That parameter of the ARV will determine, you'll average out the next two, three, four houses that you can, get an average number. And let's just say hypothetically that that house is worth $400,000. The bank's going to lend you up to 75% of that number. And that number in the $400,000 example would be $300,000. So you can borrow up to $300,000. Now, from that $300,000, we absolutely always give 100% of the money for construction. What is the biggest question I get? Hey, I've got the money to buy the house, but I don't have the money for the construction. And I go, hang on, let's flip the script here. Let's think, I'd rather you have the money to put the down payment for the purchase of the house. Let me give you 100% of the rehab. So let's say you tell me that, hey, Jorge, in order to get this house to be worth $400,000, I have to spend $100,000. So we subtract $100,000 from the $300,000 that's available for this loan. That leaves us $200,000 for the loan. So my next question to you is going to be, well, what's the purchase price of this property? And for argument's sake, let's say that this house is worth exactly $200,000 in its current condition. So you can buy it for $200,000. Hey, guess what? That's how much I said you had left in the loan. Are they going to give you the full $200,000 though? Most likely not. The hard money lender wants to see that you have some skin in the game, okay? Yeah. Are there lenders out there that might give you 100%? Yes, we actually have one in our program that allows it. But the legwork to get approved for that is far more intense than it would be for normal hard money lenders. The appeal to hard money lenders is that we don't ask for a lot of paperwork. We value it based off of these numbers that I'm explaining here. So now, if it's $200,000 and the loan has $200,000, what does the hard money lender want to see? They want to see some skin in the games because it's all about risk. If I'm not going to look at your income, which we don't in the hard money world, if I'm not going to look at your taxes, which we also don't in the hard money world, I need to make sure that you're in this and taking some risk the same way I am. Okay. So I might ask that you put down somewhere between 10% and up. Usually when you're a beginner, it's going to be 20% and up. And it's a case by case scenario based on the other risk factors that the lender's looking at, like location, your experience, and your credit score. Okay. So let's say $200,000, I need 20% down. That's $40,000 that I need to get into this deal. And then there are fees that are associated with the purchase that you have to factor in above that $40,000. But Jorge, you said I could borrow up to $200,000. And now you're asking me for $40,000. So $200,000 minus $40,000, that's only $160,000 the bank's giving me. What can I do with that remaining $40,000 that just became available? I can add that to your budget for your rehab if you want. But you and I, as my client, we'll discuss if it makes sense to do that, because you want to fix this house for as inexpensive as you can, because the less you spend, even though the bank's willing to give it to you, the more profit you have when you go to sell this thing, right? Yeah. So as a first timer, you can get in with as little as 20% down plus your fees into a product with just having a solid enough credit score and having that cash in hand. Remember the three C's we talked about earlier, and the third C was the collateral. The collateral works. So there's the three C's at work. So then you say, gosh, okay, that's great, but I don't have $40,000. How do I get in this with $40,000? And this is where, like the Avengers, you got to team up partners. With people.
Yeah.
Get partners, right? You can have a capital partner or you can have an equity partner. Mm-hmm. You can find somebody who's like, man, look, I got $40,000 right here. I just don't want to deal with contractors and this and that. And you guys can negotiate with each other what the expectation is, right? That person mm-hmm. might offer to say, hey, I'll lend you the money, just pay me back a percentage, or hey, I want to split the profits. Either way, you guys are going to make your partnership exist in a real platform by creating a business together. You can open up an LLC together. Mm-hmm. And now that you guys are together on the business, now you guys have a percentage of ownership. It could be 50-50, whatever it is. And we can use that capital to do the deal. And let's say you go 50-50 with this person. You guys go, you get this deal done. The proceeds of and the cash out on that one deal could be just what you need to go do the next deal by yourself and so on. Or you had a good relationship with this person. Keep it going. Keep it going. You got the money again. Let's put it back to work and get the next deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, that's pure gold, man. He's giving you the gold and nuggets of how to get this, like these loans the way you should. Because like traditional said, you need good credit. You need to have some kind of job or some kind of income coming in W-2, which they don't look at. You need some kind of tax return, most likely traditionals, I think 2 years, right? 2 to 3 years for traditional.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is absolutely sometimes brutal, because let's say you had an up year or down year, it could really fluctuate and figure out, okay, the bank will say, listen, last year you made good money, but the previous year you didn't do well, so they might not give you that loan. Right now, he's giving you the tools you need to be able to get into the real estate game and be able to get your first property and be able to get it and make sure you can partner maybe with somebody else who can maybe get you the funds if you don't have the funds. You have to just think creatively in terms of how you can get that first deal. And actually, that's what I want to get to, Jorge. What would you suggest for a beginner, a person who's never done a real estate deal? Maybe they have $10,000, $20,000 cash and they want to get into that deal. And for me, I'm coming from Boston originally, but now I'm in Atlanta. But what would you suggest their steps to be to, let's say, the beginning next year, they want to get their first fix and flip or maybe the first rental, whatever it is. What would you suggest the kind of blueprint should be to get in that first deal and do that? What would you suggest?
Great question. So the first thing I would recommend is deal analysis. What we just did moments ago is exactly that, a deal analysis, right? How do I find comps in the area? So I want to get familiar with tools online that are free that can show me what sales have gone around. It's like walking into a store. If I walk into a store every single day and a specific product, I have this lens cleaner. Let's say every day this is $5.99 on the register. And one day I walk in and I see that this is $2.99. The only reason I know that that's a deal is because every day I went into that store and I saw that this item was $5.99, right? Definitely. Same thing is true with houses. If I start to analyze deals and understand the language, because there's a language, like anything else, right? The reason that lawyers speak is because it confuses you enough, and now you have to pay them for their expertise to decodify the language that they used, right? Every industry has that, right? If I talk to somebody in IT, there's language there that I may not understand because I'm not an IT specialist. Well, the same is true in our field. So understanding deal analysis and understanding the language is the first thing I'm going to tell you, because when you come to me, you need to have certain answers that I can't necessarily find out for you, because I work nationwide. Do I know every single market nationwide? I don't, right? You went from Boston, you went to Georgia. I'm going to ask you, hey, what's the ARV? You have to know what the ARV is. I might be able to help you look and say, yeah, but I don't know your market the way you do. So if you do enough deal analysis, you will know, because like you saw the house every month, this house was 300 and today it's 250. Now you know that that house is on sale, right? So once you know how to do the deal analysis and back your way into the loan the way we just did, hey, I know the ARV is this. I know the lender's going to give me 75%. I know rehab is the next thing I have to understand. How do I determine the cost of something, right? Mm-hmm. I need to become familiar. What does it cost to replace a floor? What does it cost to do plumbing? What does it cost to do electrical? What does it cost? These are things that you want to get familiar with, because getting the money is very simple once you know the answers to those questions, right? If you don't know the answers to that, you're going to fumble and you're going to be like, did I ask for enough money? Because if you tell the bank, hey, $50,000 will get it done, they'll believe you. But when you get to the project and you're like, oh no, I actually needed $100,000. Now you're in a deal and you're missing $50,000 that maybe I could have gotten you had you known up front you needed $100,000, but instead you only asked for $50,000. So you have to know how to assess how much money is going to be needed for a repair. So my suggestion, to make this full circle and not be too long-winded, is if you want to learn how to get in this as a beginner, it's study the language, do deal analysis, and if you can, partner with somebody who has done this before you. You've got 10 or 20,000. I'll tell you this, I've done over 25 deals in just the last 2 years alone for myself, not including the people I help as a lender. If somebody came to me with 10, 20,000 and said, I want to partner with you, I'll gladly say, come and partner with me. And I want you to watch and observe what's needed, because your investment is going to get you back some money and you're going to see how much something costs, right? So partner with people that are more seasoned than you so that you can see what's there. Now, when you do, be very careful, okay? You want to protect yourself, all right? Protect yourself by making sure that everything's a written agreement and you guys understand what the ins and outs are of what your agreement is. But partnerships are the best way to get hands-on experience, because you can read 1,000 books. It took me 11 years before I finally got into this business and stopped buying courses and stopped doing things. And no dig on the courses. Thank you to the courses, because I moved at lightning speeds once I finally did take action because of the courses. But the reality is, knowledge is not power. Knowledge with action is true power, right? Absolutely. So you got to just put it into effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, Jorge, it's a great point. You have to do your homework, guys. Like, you have to do your homework. And I think the shortcut, which you mentioned also, is partnering with somebody who's been doing it for 10, 20 plus years, because then you get to see up front, almost ride shotgun with the person and bring your 20, 10, whatever 1,000 is, and watch them actually close the deal, fund the deal, fix the deal, sell the deal, so you can figure out yourself, okay, is this what I want to do? Is this the game I want to play? And also you will learn from him all the steps in terms of getting the shortcut, so that way you can avoid all the mistakes you can. Because to be honest, I made so many mistakes. I'm sure Jorge made mistakes. All these other investors made mistakes. But now you're getting the seasoned vet who can show you exactly what to do step by step, and you can avoid all the hurdles. Listen, you still might make mistakes, but you're not going to make major financial steps that could put you back 4 or 5 or 7 years in terms of issues. So you want to make sure you can get that at least lined up. Quick question also, what's usually the turnaround time from, let's say, from beginning of initial deal analysis all the way to close? What's the usually close time in terms of closing a deal in terms of funding?
Great question. So there's two types of funding. One is a short term, which has alternative names, bridge, fix and flip product. Mm-hmm. And one is a long term product, which is usually the DSCR option. Yep. And the turnaround on the fix and flip bridge product is on average 10 to 12 days once we have everything in. We've done shorter than that when the stars are aligned and everybody has what they need. And once you gain experience, we can actually move a lot faster. But 10 to 12 is average. Now, in the DSCR space, 21 is more common. Okay, 18 to 21 is more realistic. And what's the difference between the two? A DSCR loan is when you're keeping the house for a longer period of time, right? You can sell it at any time, but you know the short-term loans average time is somewhere between 6, 12, 18, or 24 months. That's where they max out. Usually people get 12 months. And in a DSCR, you fixed it. Now you have to get out of that and pay the lender back for that short-term loan you took. The DSCR is a 30-year. When you're doing a 30-year, there's appraisals. It takes a lot longer, the process to internally assess and make sure that everything meets the criteria. And for those who don't know what DSCR stands for, debt service coverage ratio, the debt service is the monthly mortgage payment that you'll have. So let's say I have a mortgage payment of $2,000. And the coverage ratio is the income that the property produces. Let's say the property produces $2,500. As a ratio, the $2,500 is higher than what the debt service is in that example, which is $2,000. Therefore, the bank is interested because the rental income covers the expense of the mortgage payment. And that's why they can look at not requiring W-2s or taxes, because they look at the value of the collateral. In this case, the ratio is above a one. And that's what we typically aim for when we're doing these, right? So if you're assessing on keeping a property, you want to calculate, you know, based on today's rates, the mortgage payment is going to be this much, but I can make that much. So yeah, turnaround times are very, very quick. Because even for the 30 year compared to a traditional lender, a traditional lender, you know, it might take you 45 days on average plus, because they're looking at your taxes, W-2, and verifying all that. I'll never forget working for a national bank earlier in my career and using my in-house approval for a loan. And the day of closing, they refused to close because they needed to verify my employment. I had to get on the phone and call our internal department and say, "Are you kidding me? I work for you." But that's just how intense it is in the conventional space. In our space, it can get intense too. I don't want to, you know, dissuade us from believing otherwise, but the process is different. We look at different things that aren't as involved as that. So.
Absolutely. I mean, for me myself, I've averaged all the loans I've gotten before, which is like about 4 or 5. They've said they're going to close within 30 days, and almost all of them gone 60 plus days because of, you know, greater deposits or some kind of issue with the verification or some kind of, they need another document or something. Always happens where the bank always needs something extra because they make you jump through extra hoops. That's why I wanted to bring Jorge on, because a lot of guys, listen, I didn't know about hard money. I didn't even know about bridge loans. I didn't know about DSR loans. These loans are there for you guys to work and be able to get your business going, because a lot of people are afraid of the banks. And if you have a person like this who can help you, it can really help you excel your business and really help you scale also. Great information, Jorge. So you can get started with, you know, small down payment and be able to get in the property, but also partner with somebody if you wanted to. And now if let's say, you know, I have a property and I've already financed it. You guys do refinancing, do those kind of things also?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Multiple options there. So if you own the property already, if it's been stabilized, meaning you've made it so that it's livable and you can get a tenant in there, we can refinance it into a 30-year product, the DSCR, which we just spoke about.
Yeah.
And we can refinance up to 75% of the after repair of the current market value as a cash out. If it has a mortgage on it already, or let's say you have hard money on it, and you want to refinance it into a 30-year, we can go up to 80% of the appraised value if it's just what we call rate and term, meaning you're not expecting cash back. You're just trying to pay off the existing mortgage into the new one. Let's say you bought it. We have clients that don't know that hard money is out there. They use their own cash to buy a house, and now they're looking for the repair money. We can refinance it and do a rehab loan on that as well. We can do it as a delayed purchase. And what that means is we would help you with the same terms, up to 75% of the after repair value. You may be able to recover some of your money that you already put towards the purchase, and we would set aside the budget for the rehab within our guidelines, of course. And so that would give you the opportunity to get the funds to repair the house. And then once it's repaired, depending on your exit strategy, you're either going to sell it or we can refinance you then for the 30-year product.
Nice. Excellent. Guys, that's major. That's how a lot of these real estate investors have actually really scaled a lot, is they buy a property at hard money, they fix and flip it, they get that new added value or value add, like we call it. They get the refinance or get that cash out and just rinse and repeat because they have the cash now and they have the property, depending on obviously the property itself, and they keep going that over and over again on larger and larger deals. And so actually, let's talk about that. So what's the minimum in terms of loan size, and then what's the maximum on loan sizes?
Great question, and an important one, because right now lenders are kind of reviewing their in-house. Once upon a time, we could go as low as $55,000 as a loan amount. Mm-hmm. Maximum, depending on the lender, maybe somewhere between $2 to $5 million. But anything above that, we now have lenders that can handle that. It's usually going to be for the commercial properties, though, sure. Or like a larger multifamily. So we have the over $5 million category as well. But if you're in that single family space, you can pretty much count on like $2 to $5 million as the max for that. As far as the minimum, a couple of the lenders we work with just updated to $100,000 as their minimum. So get it in while you can is really the message, because lenders are tweaking, deciding whether it's worth the effort for them to go for those smaller balances, which I know a couple of my clients are feeling in areas like Ohio, where properties are dirt cheap. You got that $30,000, $40,000 window for properties that, you know, could eventually become worth a lot more. But it's tough. So 50 to 55 is still, we still have a lender in that range, but a couple of them are pushing up to 75 and 100. So, but let's, for argument's sake, if you want to stay safe, 75 and up.
Yep. That's about right. And I've seen almost everywhere else. And I see that actually a lot too, because I see a lot of investors like in the Midwest who the prices are cheap in terms of properties. And I have some properties in Pennsylvania. And so the prices are cheap, so you get decent cash flows, but you don't get the appreciation that you get from the coasts of high price, but also high appreciation because of the want and the people want to live there. So you want to kind of be careful on those. But also, in fact, listen, you can get a loan for $55,000. I mean, that's a low cheap. You can get that started right away. So let's get to you as an investor yourself. Tell us about, like, you know, some deals maybe you're working on, some things you're working on, and what you're seeing. Especially, I want to see some stuff because the New Year's coming up. What do you see as an investor and also as a loan broker for 2024? What do you see, and what kind of stuff you're working on?
We got a lot going on our end. So things that I'm seeing, we are just yesterday, Friday, so 2 days ago, I quoted the first deal that was back in the 7% range for a 30-year product, which tells me that I suspect, and I'm no guru here, but I suspect that you're going to have a lot more competition coming as rates start to drop. In my personal investing, I did a lot of single families. We did 17 doors last year that some were intended to be sold. And a lot of my mentorships, I too pay for mentors, and every single one of them was just talking about their biggest regret was selling properties. And I kind of grew attached to all my properties, so I kept them all. That allowed me to just create a solid foundation so that basically our lifestyle bills are paid. And then, you know, the rest is just to keep growing. So now what we're focused on, we have shifted over to multifamilies, kind of like Monopoly, right? Mm-hmm. Four houses and a hotel. So right now we are working on growing a condo building. We're buying a hotel, and we have another building that we're gonna break ground on in March. And we're building two buildings. So one is gonna be 32 units, the other one's gonna be 160 units. And the hotel, we just put an offer on. We'll find out soon if we get that offer taken. But we are always looking for partners. So anybody out there who wants to join us, please. What you'll learn quickly, and I mentioned partnerships earlier, is that you can't do these things by yourself. I would never have dreamed of owning a hotel or being part of anything like that until I realized that the tides rise together, and this is a business of growth and camaraderie. So it's really about partnering with people and getting that done. So we are in that Florida area, Florida pocket with these projects. We are specifically in Clearwater, which is part of that Tampa area, and we have some beachfront properties. That's where we're going to be building our condos. So very excited for that.
Nice.
Very, very excited. Yeah.
Very nice. Look at that. Look, Jorge started with just the basic single family. Now we scaled up to 100 plus units in Florida and hotels. It's all about starting, but also great point, which is Monopoly is actually a real life game, guys. You can start from somewhere and be able to scale up as long as you know the game and you have the right people and your right team and the right systems and processes and also the right connections. You could definitely do a lot of things in this game and make a lot of money for yourself and your family if you really want to. You have the right focus also. Great information, Jorge. And so if people want to reach out to you and maybe get a loan or talk to you and maybe get some advice or something, how can people reach out to you, Jorge?
Hey, man. Thanks for asking that. Three ways. I'm on Instagram at the ULEX, just like it says on my hat. So THEULEX, that is my handle on Instagram. So please add me, come support. Happy to talk there. Always talking to people through DMs, phone calls, etc. through the app. We also have a website, which is www.theulex.com. We have a form there. If you have a deal, shoots right to my email. And my email is Jorge@theulex.com. And Jorge is spelled J-O-R-G-E. So any of those ways you can reach out to us. Our phone number is also listed on the website. So it's 443-318-8000. You can text us there. That's the best way to text. That number hits me right on the hip. So 443-318-8000. But really, we need some love and support on Instagram. We're trying to grow our social presence, trying to build that brand. So please like, follow, and we're happy to help you out. And just mention Kenny's name, and we'll help you out on that first one. We'll give you a break on our rates. So yeah, we're just happy to be here.
Absolutely. And I'll put all this information in the show notes. You guys can access to him if you need to. All this data, he'll send it to me. So perfect. But also, Jorge, I know you gave me a great book suggestion recently. Any book suggestion you suggest for new investors? Anything else would you suggest?
Yes. Just to share, not to gatekeep, so let's talk about the one I mentioned to Kenny was The E-Myth Revisited. So I believe that any business, especially your real estate business, is all about building systems. In order to grow, you need to delegate a lot of the work. And The E-Myth is a fantastic book to learn how to delegate and build a system. The reason McDonald's works so well, it's not because they have the best burger. I assure you, I'm no chef and I can make a better burger than McDonald's. That said, I can't outsell them because McDonald's has a system that works. A number one tastes the same as it does here, as it does anywhere else in the world, right? So the same has to be true about our business. If I pass away, my business needs to be a system that my family can inherit and it just keeps running without me. And most of us don't run our businesses that way. So The E-Myth is one book. And we mentioned earlier, you asked what's the greatest way to get in the field. I'll throw this other one. Bigger Pockets has a book on estimating rehabs. Get familiar with it. That's a great book to know and learn how to estimate a rehab, because the biggest thing that kept me away from doing deals, I could do comps all day. That's easy. Find, filter by sold, do within half a mile, sold within the last 3 months, has the same number of bed and baths. Cool. 2 + 2 = 4, right? I can tell you that this house is worth 400. What I couldn't tell you was this house needs $100,000 worth of work and this one needs 30. I didn't know how to look at that. So that estimating rehab costs by Bigger Pockets is a phenomenal read, especially if you're a beginner, because you're going to have to learn how to determine how much money to ask me as your broker so that I can get you that money so you have enough money to fix your house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great suggestions. And I suggest highly you two guys follow Bigger Pockets. I found so much information on there. You can find deals, you can find partners, you can find lender, you can find so many things on there. Just be joined up and just start reading and learning yourself some more information. All right, perfect. Jorge, any last words here for anybody else? Anything you want to finish off here? I know Sunday and you want to, I'm sorry, Saturday, and you want to maybe something you want to finish off and let the people know?
Yeah, all I can say is, guys, take action. Find me. We're happy to help you. Don't be like me. It took me 11 years to finally act on information like what was provided tonight. The only difference between you and the guru you're watching is that the guru took the opportunity to actually take action. you will know 100% more than the rest of the world when you do anything, right? So just take action. Don't be afraid. 2024 is right around the corner. Let 24 be your year, all right? If you've been putting this off, 24 is your year. Now is your time. You, me, Oprah Winfrey have the same 24 hours. She's a billionaire. How is she doing it? Because she's taking action, right? So let's take the 24 hours we have and let's get together. Let's let our tides rise together. Let's make money together. Reach out to us. Let's help you. 2024 is your year. You got it. Hit me up, the ULEX at Instagram.
Nice. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Jorge, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you taking the time. And guys, like I said, I'm going to put his information in the show notes so you guys can contact him. Reach out to him. Great man and gentleman to reach out to. Listen, I found him through another connection of mine, through Jermaine, and he pointed me to Jorge, and then Jorge pointed me to some other people. So listen, you have to just use that connection and let 2024 be your year, man. I bring people on this podcast to help you guys excel yourself and be able to invest in your future. Or he's investing in his future by getting to real estate. Now he's doing hotels and 100 plus units. He's doing lending to help you guys get into the business, also to help you guys excel and improve yourself and improve your family. And Jorge, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. And you guys have a great night. All right. See you guys at the top.
Great, brother. See you guys.
All right.